What it do, baby? Welcome back to A Lot of Hats Podcast. I am your host, Christina Faith, and this is...
Your host, A Brilliant Dummy.
I can't help it.
I was waiting.
You was waiting?
Yeah.
Because you toned it down this time. Anyway. And today we are going to talk about Soul Stone. The Lord will fulfill his promises for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. And today we're going to talk about the movie Soul.
Yes.
So tell me how you felt about this movie. Because everybody was hitting me. Did you watch the movie?
Yeah.
Did you watch the movie?
I was like, what is this about? And then, I hit you up like, yo, you gotta do it.
You gotta watch the movie.
Yeah. I mean, so for starters, like, the graphics and stuff were cool. The overall theme, like, just my take of the whole movie was just, like, mainly about purpose and what it is, what it isn't, how our personalities are formed. I think the biggest theme, too, that I saw was just, like, rushing, right? Because, this is a spoiler.
Spoiler alert!
So go watch it now, then come back and listen, because we're definitely going to spoil it. But, so yeah, like the main character Joe, right? This jazz musician. That's another reason I loved it.
Yes,
like,
it was
jazz. Yeah, I might like
it. It was good
this.
Jazz too.
It was, but right, he was rushing from his gig and died, fell in the pothole.
It's not funny.
It's not. But and then as he's in like this soul or this spiritual interim, which they didn't call it heaven. What did they call it? The before something. I don't know.
They called it something Buddhist.
The great beyond or something.
It was very Hindu. Buddhist space.
We're going to bring that up too. But, and then he was like rushing to try to get back to Earth, right? So then he grabbed.
Because he didn't
like,
want to miss his big shot.
Right, his soulmate, and ended up falling into the cat and she falls into his body. But, so it was definitely just like this theme of like rushing and how like, you know, we need to learn how to slow it down. Slow it down. So, that was cool. But yeah, I mean, it was some. I guess we'll get into it further. I had some likes, some dislikes, but I mean, what did you think about it just overall?
So I was really excited when the movie came on. I didn't really watch a lot of trailers, so that's what I've been doing recently is not watching trailers. Like, okay, Queen Latifah has this new show coming out, and I'm really excited about it, right? Mm-hmm. Equalizer, right?
Oh,
and somebody sent me the trailer because I was like, yo, I'm excited to see her because I think this is probably a bit more her element than all the roles she's dumbed herself down into.
Right.
Well, she's amazing, but I think it'll be cool for her to be able to use her rougher side and not have to be girly girl all the time. So I'm excited about that. And so I didn't want to see the trailer. And so I didn't see the trailer for Soul either.
Right.
So I didn't fully know. And so when I watched it, I was like, yeah. And then he died. And I was like, why black people always got to die? Why we got to become these little balloons and stuff like that? How come we couldn't really see black people in their essence?
Right.
So I think that was my first... Okay, this is good, but now I'm like, this is trash all at the same time.
Right. insert Umar Johnson soundbite.
And so I think the other thing that I had a problem with, I like this movie, but as a filmmaker, I'm always thinking about how a story is told. And so I had a problem. I'm sorry, we're going to spoil this whole thing if you haven't seen this.
Yeah.
I had a problem with, in order for this man to fulfill his purpose, he has to then become a cat. And a white woman then gets to become a black man. Like, that was...
Insert another Umar Johnson soundbite.
And so I was really upset about that. And then, like, if we keep watching the movie, in order for him to even come back to Earth to fulfill his purpose, he then has to put himself out there for a white woman to be able to fulfill her purpose. And so from that standpoint, I was like, what are we teaching people? In order for a black person to get ahead, he or she then has to push up the white person, whether that person has... So we never saw the white person's body, but they picked a white woman to be the voice.
That
was very intentional. You couldn't go get an Indian. You couldn't go get somebody from from the continent of Asia, or Middle Asia or Middle East. Like, you couldn't go get all of these other people. You got a white woman, which leads me to another point. I'm watching several shows, and I'm like, Bridgerton. Amazing show. Amazing show. Shonda did her thing. But once again, white people are the center of a black man being able to experience love. Right?
Oh, wow.
And so when I look at Soul, I was I was encouraged because Jamie Foxx did his thing. Mm-hmm. Felicia Rashad did her thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved when I saw the black people actually on the screen as comics because it felt so real. They highlighted New York amazingly. Like, it was beautiful, mm-hmm. right? But as soon as we went to this other world, everything became about the white folk. Yeah. You ain't hear many black voices when we were in the other world. Hmm. I can't even think of one. Like,
wow, that's something. Because when I asked then, you about it, or go ahead, finish.
I ain't done. And then the way that we highlighted the black person experiencing purpose through entertainment once again, right? And that his highlight is him being an entertainer and being able to be on a stage to entertain the white folks that was in the audience, right? And so I think it has more layers than
a lot more
for me. It had more layers than he found his purpose, because for me his purpose was always attached to whiteness. And so
So when I asked you, like, yo, what did you think? Because you finally saw it. I saw it before you. I did not pick up on any of those things, like, at all. I was not, like, thinking that. Mm-hmm. And I did go back last night and rewatch it. Like,
okay, you did.
For this.
You better
than
me.
And then I saw the, like, oh, snap.
I'm
like,
Charlamagne. You Angela Yee.
Right. Like, I recognize when, like, yeah, because he put the wrong name tag as the mentor. And he was a white man, like, this accomplished psychiatrist or something, and they were like highlighting his life, and he's getting all these accolades and awards, and then it went to like his life and it was like boring, and he was like, oh, my life is like meaningless. And so I did see that contrast where it's like, oh, like they're subtly like putting out that like
success was attuned to whiteness.
And I didn't see that the first time.
The second time, I bet she was like,
she came with the like, yeah, she's white.
I'm always very leery of when. And this is the catch 22, right? The reality is that in order to get these films greenlit, a white person, specifically normally with the history of Hollywood, a Jewish person is the one who is creating the budgets for these worlds. And even though we have black talent, this was the first time that, what was this, Pixar?
Yeah, this was
This is the first time that Pixar had a co-black director ever.
Oh, wow.
And he was co. And so, you know, it's cool, but at the same time, there's such a deficit of people of color in Hollywood, but specifically in animation like never before. Mm-hmm. And so our friend Octavius, he's in the animation world now. Like, he's doing stuff that I ain't even... He's trying to figure out the animation, and the amount of time that it takes to do animation is crazy, but he's picking it up, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. But as he's in this world, he's like, hold on. There are hardly no black people in this world. Like, even less than everywhere else. So, but whenever anything is made, I'm always saying, who's behind this and how are we portraying ethnicity beyond whiteness? Because it's so deep. Now, granted, this was pre-George Floyd and pre the resistance and the uprising that we now see, where we settle a little bit more. So I completely get that. I don't know if everybody would allow that movie to be made that way or, you know, or giving some pushback on it. But at the same time, it's a paycheck. So I don't fault the people that are part of it. Right. But I think that as we watch things, we have to be more mindful of what's actually happening.
Absolutely. And just how things are subtle. And like you said, when you kind of scale back, it's like, okay, what are they saying? Because, I mean, while we're on the topic of, like, certain things that dislike, you notice how, like, so there's a point where they find, like, these lost souls, right? But then they have a team of, like, really, like, New Agers trying to save these lost souls,
this was,
right?
This was 100, a Hindu, Hindu like religion-based movie.
And people would say, like, oh, like, religion, but it's always
They're like, oh, they don't
level.
Have to be Christian. But I think the problem with that is that whenever we see religion, we see the Middle Eastern Hindu, not Middle Eastern, the Eastern religions, right? It's interesting that Eastern religions are more acceptable than any other religion. And I think it's because it doesn't have any accountability. Islam has accountability. Christianity has accountability. But I think becoming one, becoming Zen, is a bit more, you know, it's easier. And granted, you know, my husband, he come in my room in the morning. I have like a little prayer room. Mm-hmm. It's a guest bedroom, but I turn it into a prayer room. And he's like, hold on, I'm sorry, you doing your little Zen thing? And so it's the concept of Zen is just becoming, is just centering yourself. Right? And so, granted, I'm centering myself with the Lord. I'm not centering myself with myself because myself is trash.
Right.
But it's more acceptable if I talk to my friends who are not believers about meditation mm-hmm. than me saying it's centering prayer, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so generally, like when I introduce people to meditation, I introduce them to Christian meditation mm-hmm. because most Christians don't even know you can do that.
Right.
But at the same time, that was even the concept of centering prayer was a bunch of priests looking at everybody going to the monks. Like, why y'all going over there? You know, you can do this over here too. Mm. Like, it's simply a different way of simply sitting down, quieting your heart and your mind, not giving over to every thought and asking the Lord to be, you know, asking yourself to be present with the Lord. Mm. And so, yeah, like when I see that stuff, I'm like, people like, my friend was like, oh, but they're not Christian. It doesn't have to come. I'm not saying that it does. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is you need to have these conversations with your children that are watching.
Right.
And with your friends, absolutely. Because it's a slow turn.
Yeah.
Right.
Study, sleep, like, you know, just how they throw certain subtle stuff in. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh. Yeah, like when I rewatched it, I mean, I noticed it the first time when you were mm-hmm. just like balancing your chakras. And I'm like, and that's the thing too, and we're probably getting over a little bit, but mm-hmm. you know, just as a, like, we're both believers, Christians, and so I think too, like, just understanding where other people come from. And I think yes. we're so afraid of, like, because we're taught, don't go near that, don't look that up. But it's like, well, you need to, like, know where people are coming from mm-hmm. so even you know how to minister, just how to listen. Like, oh. we don't know how to listen.
Yeah.
You know, and so I remember, like, my nephew was, like, getting into this stuff, and, like, he's sending me videos, and I'm, like, mm-hmm. looking it up. And it's very, like, hard to even balance your chakras. I mean, I think the explanation is, like, to balance, I don't know, like a crown chakra, you gotta, like, that means you talk too much, so then you gotta, like, talk less. It's, like, very there's so much ambiguity. Like, how do you know you talk too much?
I gotta tame my thought on it.
So, yeah, so, and that's and only because, that could be no, a whole another only, podcast, but it's
But
just,
only because I have friends that are really into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and likewise.
And sometimes I just want to say to them, but, you know, the Lord don't need all that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, he created you with 7 levels of being within yourself, mm. right? You have your mind, your body, your spirit, your emotions, yeah, right? You have all of those things. Right. You have your pelvic, right? We have these things, right? So it's kind of like, you know, I talk to my therapist and she's like, well, where's your tension being held, right? Well, oh, it's in my shoulder. Oh, it's in my stomach.
That's real.
And she's able to say, okay, well, close your eyes. Let's do some bilateral stimulation and help you take away that unsettling, mm-hmm. right? So there are things.
Are truths to it.
There are truths to it. And
exactly.
So that's what I don't, but attached to it also with that is, but when I look at how you're depending on it, you're depending on it as a God.
Right.
And so that's where I differ, right?
Right.
I'm not like, oh yeah, like I'm not, stones don't do it for me. Like I don't put my trust in anything. I try not to put my trust in anything that is physical, right. or even my own self, right? Because my own self is a sinking sand,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so I think the movie Soul was really good in that it, you know, we saw even his fight with his family, right? So how did you identify with that fight with the family? Because you're an artist, so how did your family?
Yeah, it's. I think it was a lot of things similar to where you almost gotta, like,
fix your mic.
Proof. Oh, can you hear me?
You just need to bring your mic closer.
Bring it. All right, now.
You know it moves, right?
It's in my face. I'm trying to hide my face. It's okay. All right, is that better? You guys can see me.
Tell her it moves.
But right, especially like when you're an artist and you know people want you to go the traditional way mm-hmm. and the shorter way, and it's like you gotta, like, prove some level of mm-hmm. success in some way before people could take you serious. And so in that, that'll be a whole nother thing.
I was just talking
but,
to my friend about that.
So that was interesting, of like him finally breaking free from his family. Like, hey, this is something I want to pursue. I recognize that you guys might want me something mm-hmm. more safer, but it's just like, yeah, you do have to come to that realization that, like, you're going to have to break away from some, like, family traditions yes. and family strongholds to really pursue, like, something that you're called to do. Mm-hmm. And I just called, I don't like, not always using that word, but I heard somebody say, like, you know you're in your purpose when you have a deep desire for it, mm-hmm. you're affirmed in it by others, mm-hmm. and then you actually get opportunities to do it.
And I think also that is extremely hard to do.
Yeah, in some ways. And that's because it evolves.
Yeah,
because it has to evolve.
And I think your purpose and purpose, one thing that I you know, because purpose is such a big thing, post Rick Warren, what was his name? Rick Warren here, The Purpose Driven Life. Mm. So it became really popular back then, because everyone is searching for their purpose, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I think most people don't realize is that your the actions of your purpose evolve.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But your purpose is always to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your strength, and to love others. Now, how God allows you to do that through the things that you are able to do. Some people will work on one artistic thing or one, you know, thing their whole life, while others are able to find purpose in different seasons. Mm-hmm. And I think it's oftentimes we lock ourselves into our purpose has to have freedom attached to it, and that's a lie. Right? Because we think purpose, especially us millennials and Generation Zers, we think purpose is enjoying everything that we do. And Jesus walked in purpose, but he did not enjoy dying on the cross. Right? He did not enjoy having to hold himself back from snapping on these Pharisees and everybody else. Right?
Right.
I don't even know if he enjoyed coming into this humanly body. Yeah. Right? Like, imagine being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you got to just sit around for 33 years waiting for your opportunity. Yeah. You know, 30 years He's waiting like, for your opportunity. Deal with y'all niggas. Right? And then you only get 3 years to actually fulfill it on this earth. Yeah. But your purpose is eternal, right? Yeah. And so when we look at purpose, I think one of the things that the movie Soul did, which was really cool, is to show that your purpose is not just earthbound. They didn't say this, but your purpose is not just earthbound, but it's heavenly bound. It's eternal, right? Mm-hmm. So the very thing that you're doing well here, I think we'll probably be doing in heaven.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And so if you work with colors here, imagine the palette that exists to you in heaven.
I'm waiting to be an interior designer, bro.
If you tell stories here, imagine the stories that you then get you to see that glorify him.
That's so true.
Right? And so I think it's really cool, like, to unlock and watch these kind of things and not to just take them as face value, but to think about what you're watching. Right? Because I'm trying to tell you, I have never seen someone have deep-seated peace in the midst of turmoil that does not know Jesus. Mm. Right? When a plane going down, folks say Jesus. Mm. I've never heard I was watching Carson Daly, right? Something as simple as I'm watching Carson Daly, wow. And he's on the Peloton, because you know I'm going to Peloton. I'm going to plug Peloton. Bike. I got a converter this week. And so he was doing Peloton on the Daily Show, right?
Right.
And this particular ride that he was doing with Alex Toussaint was really hard. Mm-hmm. And it was like he was riding it, and it was like, oh, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right? When something gets hard, the name that we say in all languages, Jesus, Yeshua, or whatever it translates into your language.
Right.
And I think that's the internal, that deep-seated thing that exists within us, that all of us are designed to glorify God purposely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how we do that, you know, for what was his name, Rob and Soul?
Who? Joe.
Joe.
Yeah.
Then they picked Joe, like.
Oh, God. The name?
BJ?
Not the name.
No, my cousin, my cousin and my uncle's name are Joseph. And so, interesting, lineage-wise, when my grandmother was still alive, I was able to kind of, like, see birth certificates and stuff. And it was really interesting to see just the Williams and Josephs that existed in our families and generations. And I don't even think they knew that.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I think it's really interesting that he found his through jazz. But even when he was teaching in a place that he didn't think that was his purpose,
right.
His purpose was actually seen greater in his teaching and him impacting the students than it was in him playing for himself.
Absolutely.
Right? And so he wanted to be a jazz musician. Mm-hmm. But the way that we saw his purpose unravel was really in his teaching. And
it even started by him, like, right, going to this jazz club with his dad of, like, I hate jazz, I don't like this. Mm-hmm. And even through that, like, going to a place he wasn't expecting to find it. And I think that's for, like, there are some people who, like, they just know when they're young, like, hey, I want to do this, and that's my purpose. And then for a lot of us, though, I think we just, like, stumble into our purpose. Like, I didn't think I would ever be a photographer or designer. Now,
did you see inklings when you saw?
What?
When you were young?
Yeah. Like, I always made things with my hands.
Yeah.
Like, always. And so I can trace it back. Like, I knew I always liked my hands, but and then to some degree, I knew, like, oh, I wanted to be a business owner, but I never knew what. And so I kind of, like him, I did the traditional thing. I kind of wanted to go into art I went to school for pre-med. Mm-hmm. I found out that was too hard, and I was like, I ain't doing that and failing. Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, I'll do something easier and went to math, right? Mm-hmm. For me, math is easier. And so at first, I went that traditional route. It was, right, for me? You know, like, weird. So I did the, like, traditional route brain. And the thing, like, my parents wanted me to do and just, like, hey, get a degree that, you know, that's going to make you money when you go out. So I did the math and, you know, computer science route. Mm-hmm. And I got out and started working, and I was making a lot of money coming out of school, but I, like, vividly remember, like, the first day walking into my program, like, my first programming jobs, mm-hmm. and I was like, I cannot do this for the next 30, 20 years yeah. of my life. Like, I just felt it. Like, I can't do this. And so, like, in that time, like, I was always doing art here and there. I started doing web design, and so then I started a clothing line with one of my girlfriends, and then, like, that led me into graphic design. Mm-hmm. And then that led, like, Instagram had just started, and so we needed, like, pictures, and we were, like, funding everything ourselves. And then, so we would hire photographers, but I'm like, yo, we can't be doing this every week, like, hiring people. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I got into photography. And so it's, like,
neat. Yeah, this Tyler Perry talks about that.
Just unfolded yeah. where now I'm like, oh, man, I look up 10 years now, and, like, all these, you know what I mean,
things have things just been placed.
But it was yeah. never a thing where it's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be a photographer and do this. Like, mm-hmm. I had no idea. But as I just continued walking and doing, opportunities came, and I took a chance on it. Like, God began to open things up for me. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, getting back to what you said, where, like, you allow your purpose to evolve, because so many times, like, and my purpose isn't nearly just like, oh, photographer, like, I'm a designer, and that can mm-hmm. that can transcend, go anywhere in any field
for you, again,
you know
yeah.
anywhere. Like, I'm taking my creativity with me. But if I would have just stayed like, oh, I'm really good at, like, web design, I'm just stay here, like, none of these other things would have unfolded mm-hmm. if I wasn't flexible enough. And so I think some people think like, oh, man, if I don't do this in this city or with these people or within mm-hmm. this time frame, then, like, my purpose is, you know, ruined. And it's like, that's not true.
Well, because,
like,
I think people attach purpose to outward success.
Yeah.
Right? And that in there lies right. the issue,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Is that we think that we are successful when other people acknowledge it, mm. right? And so I was actually talking to a friend of mine this week about that. And so when you have this idea of where you want to be mm-hmm. and then you don't enjoy where you are as you're getting to where you want to be. Because mm-hmm. when you get to where you want to be, mm-hmm. you realize, oh, where I was is actually better.
Yeah.
Right. Better in the sense of, like, right now, like, I tell people, because it was told to me, they were like, Toby Gadsden, who's an acting coach, right, as well as an actor. Mm-hmm. He was talking to me and he was like, just take a moment and breathe and appreciate where you are mm-hmm. and the steps that it took to get you here over the years. Mm-hmm. Because when you get to the place that you've been pushing for, mm-hmm. you're going to wish it that you have these days.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes in purpose is we're often scared, right? Because when we all look back at over our lives, we saw the inklings of the things that we wanted to do, mm-hmm. but fear stopped us
right.
or lack of consistency.
Right.
So when we really want to boil a lot of things down, it's fear and lack of consistency. Mm-hmm. We don't want to put in the consistent work, and we don't want to mess up, mm-hmm. right? Or we don't want to take that leap and that jump. Mm-hmm. And in that, what you actually do is you stop yourself from walking your purpose. I tell people, you know, when I was in seminary, I'm sitting in seminary and I'm one of the youngest. Mm-hmm. And I'm mm-hmm. in seminary with people that's 50 and 65 years old. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, and they all say, first day when you're in these classes, they're like, I ran for my purpose all of these years,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So I encourage people at a young age, like, make mistakes if you can, as much as you can. Live at home, live with your family.
Yeah.
If you can, make the mistakes. Have your family and your lack of needing finances mm-hmm. as a good thing. Pay your little finances,
right?
right? Don't bump heads with your family. All right, go to your room, come back, type thing.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of times we want to, and it's a Western culture thought, we want to get out and have our own.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually slows us down from walking in purpose, right? Because you don't, when you got your own, you got nothing but bills. Now you got to work every day.
Yeah.
You can't explore.
And now you got to be tied down to, like, oh, having a mortgage or doing this.
Or
so
rent,
now you got these
rent,
obligations. Yeah, man. You know, right. When you have these obligations, and sometimes you understand, because I've wrestled with that, where it's like, there is a season where, hey, you just gotta pay the bills and do what you gotta do.
But then you have after the hours that you gotta do.
But then it is that friction, right? And it is a culture thing, because sometimes, like, man, Lord, I want to do this and go there, but like, I got student loans and I got these responsibilities that I don't want to neglect neither. You know what I mean? So sometimes you do gotta find a balance in that gray area, and there will be times where, you might have to put some things on hold and just put your head down, work, and then get back to it, you know. But then, like you said, that becomes that, like, that will, there's just that something in you that won't let you keep it down for long. It's okay to rest and put it down,
but you then need there's to pick something it up. That will work on it slowly.
Yeah.
Right?
Or find other ways. To do it.
People think you got to quit your job in order to fulfill your purpose and do your thing.
You don't.
I'm like, you probably need to keep that job just a little longer.
Right.
Because it's not time for you to leave your job.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're in, you know, I do all these extra things. People are like, why you do so much? Because, hey, you see these lights? Because I say, hey, I want to do this.
Where the money resides. The money resides.
It's not. It's where,
this is where the money resides.
It's really not. It's where we make compromises in order to do it. Hey, y'all, can y'all not take nothing on this shoot so we can get this? Mm-hmm. Oh, all right, right? Because we have a purpose. We know where we're going, right? The desire is that we would be able to have 5 and 6 rooms just full of gear that we can pull all the time, and we'll be always helping people do their projects and stuff. And so you have to see where you're at and work for where you're going.
Right.
Like, I remember when everything me and Alan owned, equipment-wise, fit in the Honda Accord. Everything. Everything. And our entire gear was the camera on his back and the camera on mine.
Right?
And we was just making it work, making it happen with what you have. You don't need all of this
to do it. Right.
As you can get up in levels, and because there's levels. Like, there's always more levels that you can go.
Right.
But what do you need where you are?
Right.
And a lot of times people don't see where they are, because what he didn't see. Joe didn't see.
Right.
He didn't see where he was was enough.
Yeah.
He thought that he needed to be up on that stage playing for these people, for them to acclaim him, right? As opposed to him simply being able to do what he needed to do.
Right.
Because what he was doing was enough.
Right.
And that's what I think people don't realize. You are enough.
And even in the day to day. And it's interesting too, because like, we're on both sides of that coin. Like, you're still, you own your own creative company, but you're also administrative of a school. You know what I mean? So you still
have five jobs.
You have like, got a lot of jobs. I just do my art full time. I was at a point where I did leave like my 9 to 5, but
not having money though. You know what it is?
Yeah,
I don't
it
like
builds character.
I don't like having to depend on clients.
Right.
That's really what it is.
And people think that too. Like, you think, oh, I'm my own boss. Like, no, your client.
Your client
your
is
boss.
Your boss.
So now you don't have one boss.
You got multiples at the
you know
same
what I mean?
Time.
Until your money is just making money. Like, no, you just gonna go from one
either
boss
way. You'll
to
always
multiple.
Have a boss, because you'll always need someone
always,
to purchase something from you, whether it be product or whatever it is. You'll always need something.
So that's that's a really big misconception that people think. Oh, I'm be my own boss and go on the free. Like, nah, you always gonna be dependent on somebody.
You dependent on somebody.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm a boss. You know, I think we hear those songs and be like, yes. But there's,
because if y'all ain't listening to his music and streaming, he ain't getting paid.
He ain't getting,
you know,
paid.
So he needs you.
If we not eating Wingstop, we not getting
no
paid.
The wings, which they're
no
horrible,
peppers,
by the way.
No rope.
Yeah, they are. I'm sorry.
No. Okay,
I just
so
said that.
What's good? Okay. What
I
chain
don't do
has
lemon
good?
Pepper.
Oh, you don't like
know,
lemon
no,
pepper.
At all.
Just lemon pepper.
It's too salty. Salty on the liver.
I don't share that sentiment. I need to get
that
my,
was so random, but anytime I hear that word,
you know,
like,
what? I love
it.
Oh,
I
my God. Lemon peppers.
But
especially in Atlanta. Lemon peppers.
We are getting So, what's something you did like about
the
film?
I love the way they portrayed New York. I love the music. I love how they portrayed the black people when we actually saw them.
Yeah.
Right? So I thought it was good. I just didn't know I was gonna live in this other world the whole time. I really thought I was about to watch like a Black Up.
Okay, yeah.
I wanted to see black people the whole time.
Yeah.
I didn't want to see us as, you know, one of us. I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna watch it. And I'm gonna try to count the black voices in heaven or in the other world, because I didn't hear any.
Counting black
even
voices,
even administrative voices that were organizing.
Oh, I can't
that
deal
were
with her.
Organizing the other world. We're white.
I can't, yeah.
No, because I really got a problem with it.
I can't.
It's the reason why I don't want no budget.
I'm just cracking up. I did. So one thing I'll point out that was very interesting was how they compared, like, people in the zone to lost souls, right? Mm. And I think they said one could become
get
a lost soul.
Zone, right.
They were like, I think one could become a lost soul when their joy turns into an obsession. I was like, whoa, that's deep.
That's good.
And yeah, even in your purpose when you're flowing, but sometimes, and as the kids say, like, tap in, like, sometimes you can be so tapped in.
But anyway.
Right. Well, that's another episode. That's the next episode. But, but like, right, sometimes you could be like, yeah, so in the zone, and we got this old, what is it, die when you sleep, or whatever. What is it?
Yeah, and Puffy, who coined that, almost died.
Yeah, no. First of all, who's sleeping in heaven in the presence of God, and who's sleeping through a fire? If you're going somewhere else,
you need,
like,
rest.
You do, you need, right, like, you need to chill. And so that was just interesting.
I'm here,
how,
y'all,
like,
I need to be resting.
Yeah, when you do turn something into an obsession, and it becomes about, right, like, the praise or just the affirmation and not the work itself, like, not enjoying that journey itself of just being able to create, whether you have an audience or not. And I think especially with social media, yeah, and we'll get on into that in another episode, because of social media, we are so used to an audience that we're all, like, in some sense, this performer. And so
I don't think it's social media.
I
think that's a part of it. But
it enhances it.
It enhances it. But the issue is lack of affirmation growing up. Right? Because
we need daddies. We need our daddies.
You need mommies too.
We need our
and
mommies.
Aunties and uncles and cousins.
Mommies.
And
we need our daddies.
Right?
But we getting into a lot of different other episodes. But that's different too, because it's something about, though, a father speaking to your purpose and affirming your purpose. Because
let me tell you why I push back on the father thing every time people bring that father thing up. Mm-hmm. Right? Is because people don't have fathers and they still have affirmation. Right?
Yeah, you can get it from other places.
And it's not always that the father is not present and the father is not affirming. Right?
Right?
And so I think we have to be very careful, because that's actually something that was pushed in the media. Right? To make us think that black people were fatherless. Right? And we look at the media and we look at
white people are fatherless too. Like, there's a lot of father, even if, and that's not excluding, like, just the fathers not in the home, because there's a lot of fathers in the home that are still not fathering their children.
And mothers too. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to get the moms.
Yeah, some people got daddy issues and mommy issues.
Yeah. So just because your parents are present doesn't mean they're still giving you everything.
And just because your parents are affirming doesn't mean that you won't have issues.
Have
with
issues. Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And so there is something about, well, I think there's something about a person of honor in your life affirming you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be your biological or not.
Right. Just healthy.
Because someone who has a healthy presence in your life affirming you will unlock things in you.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's why I always try to be very mindful and careful, because what will happen is people who are fatherless and motherless will then think that they can't get it from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's something that the media really has honed in on us.
Yeah.
Is that you need, because I'm like, well, what about the people whose parents die?
Yeah. But that's, and it's,
because that's,
and
not,
I'm
affirming,
not saying
as
that it has to come from that person, because there are a lot of people, and I think that God will bring people into your life to compensate. I'm just saying, for me, I noticed that there is a different, I love my mom when she's like, oh, I love you doing it and supporting me, but there's just a difference in how I feel when my dad says, like, yo, I like that, you're doing good, you know what I mean? And
do
so
you have a better relationship with your mother or your father?
I'm not going to say.
I'm just saying, you have to say
why?
It.
I'm not going
to
tell
them. Yeah, I'm just saying,
who.
You have to say it, but think about it.
I mean, I think we're equally.
No.
We're
never
equally.
We always like,
we're closer.
All my kids,
I mean,
equal.
I was more attached to my mom.
You do love them equally, but you hear
but
them in
it's
certain
unique.
Things.
Yeah, it's different.
Other
it's
than
unique.
You would hear them
in
something
it's
else.
Unique.
Yeah.
So, I mean, younger, I was just attached to my mom more, but me and my dad have a unique closeness.
Mm-hmm.
And there is something just, I can't explain it, but there is a difference when, like, my dad affirms me in something versus when my mom does.
Do you expect your mom to do it anyway?
Yeah, I mean, most moms are like, oh,
right?
That's my baby.
So you expect your mom to do it.
Yeah, I think that's just.
But when your dad do it, it's like an extra portion of joy because your mother is already doing it.
Yeah. in a lot of ways. But it, I mean, so that's why I said I don't know like the difference, but I do know that like
it's it unlocks something for you.
Yeah, it so, just yeah. gives me a bit more confidence of like, okay, like got my you. Dad is supporting, because like yeah, at first, and my dad was one of the people like was like, I'm not sending you to school for art, like not on my watch. I'm mm-hmm. not paying for it. Now if you want to do that on your own, you know what I mean? And so like seeing him come around to like the things I'm doing now, my art, like yeah, that does like yeah, just like okay, cool. And but part of it is too, like I said, having to prove some type of consistency mm-hmm. and taking yourself serious enough for mm-hmm. people around you be like, okay, like you're really going hard in this thing yeah. and it's fruit bearing from it, so like I'm gonna support you. But yeah, I mean yeah,
no, I completely first, like, get it. I just like to challenge it, because as a person that's a that yeah, no, is because of a single parent.
Yeah.
So my father died when I was 9.
Right.
And so I never had that, but the people around me affirmed me so much.
Right. Were there other males there that were came into your life?
Well, yeah, I had my brothers, I had right. my uncles. That wasn't perfect.
Right.
But there was something about my family where there was never like, you can't do that.
Right.
Right. Oh, you want to do that? Right. How much you need? Yeah. All right, we're gonna figure it out, right? Yeah. So I think it's how the family works mm-hmm. when a particular dynamic isn't there.
Yeah, yeah, right? Absolutely.
And so I don't, you know, I had, I didn't have amazing male or female role models in a sense, mm-hmm. right? Because life happens, mm-hmm. right? And so, especially because I was parentified, I often had the visual gaze to see what adults saw, not what children should see. Mm-hmm. And so though I didn't have, you know, a father in my life, I also didn't lack male attention from my family, right? Mm-hmm. My uncle would say, hey, what you need? How can I help you? My uncle would step in as my other uncle would step in as a father. Right. My brother was my father and my brother, mm-hmm. right? And so, but at the same time, you also, because you're so, I learned from so many, I see what I don't want in life, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so, but I also saw, I never said, oh, I need that person's attention. Because if I go home, I'm going to get attention. If I go home and say, hey, I want to be a rapper, all right, well, what you need to do that, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so, and oftentimes, I shied away from the things that my family saw in me that they wanted to water, but mm-hmm. I was too afraid, and I walked in fear as opposed to embracing where I was. Right. Because sometimes, you know, and that's why I say I don't think it's all social media. I think social media does heighten
yeah,
it,
yeah, definitely.
But social media just heightens what you're already yeah, lacking.
Those issues. No, that's right? true. That's very true.
And so, yeah, and some that's people just true. Don't even, you know, engage in it, and they still yeah. jacked up inside.
Yeah. yeah.
So,
because then you can have an unhealthy view too of like,
yeah.
father. And I think like you could have a father who just showers you and with everything, and now your head.
Daddy, give me everything.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. So I mean, I think everything comes to balance.
Yeah.
But I do think. Yeah, just that picture of a just a father, whether it's your biological or someone else,
you it is something yeah. about there, that. There is something about images in your life.
Yeah,
yeah,
that is just key and unique. And obviously, we ultimately get that from God, right? Mm-hmm. Him fathering us in different practical ways mm-hmm. That we need. But and I think it's why the enemy attacks, you know, fathers and men in general, you know, because our fathers are like that first gaze of how really like we're going to relate to God. Right. And so, yeah, if you had this father who wasn't there or abandoned, then you're going to kind of in some way, like look at God that way. Like he doesn't care. He doesn't. Or if you had a father who was overly bearing and giving you everything, now you're going to think God is a genie and you know what I mean? He should give you everything. And so I think like that balance when we have it skewed one way or other, it does somehow affect our relationship mm-hmm. with God. You know what I mean? That's all I was like saying.
No, but, I heard what you're yeah, saying. I just want to make sure, you know, that
it's yeah, fathers.
Because as God fathers us, he also mothers us. And I'm not saying that God is a mother. Right?
Mother.
However,
yeah.
God has attributes.
Oh yeah,
of nurturing.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's always very interesting when you have a conversation, especially when you start talking to different people. Because I know people who are in good two parent homes. That they still
jacked up,
right? And so, yeah. So, question. I think we're over in this episode. What you listening to? What's new for you? Besides this little thing that I gotta, I want my essential oils now.
It's just a humidifier, so you know I can. I'm listening to Kenya Dixon.
Okay.
I just discovered him mm-hmm. recently. So his music is really cool.
Nice. I am listening to Jasmine Sullivan Hotels.
Okay.
We're going to talk about that in the next episode.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the next episode.
You have anything to say to the people? Any last thoughts on Soul Stone? Why are we calling Soul Stone?
I don't know. I just like Rolling playing Stone? On Thanos.
Okay.
See, we see the black experience within the Soul Stone.
Gotcha.
But yeah, no, that's all for me.
Gotcha. Awesome. Thank you guys for coming. You can follow us at @alotofhats_. That's the actual thing. I'm Christina Faith. You can follow me at Christina Faith on Twitter, on Instagram, on everywhere.
Same, A Brilliant Dummy on Instagram. Dummy. I'll just give you my Instagram. That's all.
Are you gonna give him the Twitter?
No. Google it if you really want.
You know what? Bye, guys. Thank you guys for joining us.
Peace.